All right, not as many folks in for Pet Chat today. We have Amanda gone, Cheryl Shaw gone for today. But Dr. Kimberly Earle, you've decided, you know, I'm not going to let the team down, I'm going
to
turn up.
No, I'm here, ready to go.
So that means an hour of wall-to-wall questions you'll answer.
That's what I'm hoping for. It's much easier than trying to, like, think of something to talk about.
All right. And g'day, Stacey down the road of Jesmond. Your dog thinks that everyone's bed is a toilet. That's pretty much the story. Yeah?
At the moment. It's not all the time. She just did it for a couple of nights. And we're just wondering if there's any clue as to why.
All right. Tell me a little bit about your dog. It says it's a 3-year-old rescue dog. Are we talking a boy or girl?
She's a girl. Her name's Star. And we think she's like got a little bit of stuffy, a little bit of ridge back. Mm-hmm. We don't really know. Maybe a bit of boxer.
How long have you had Star for?
We've had her since she was a baby. So we've had her the whole time since she was eight weeks old or whatever. We got her from Pet Rescue.
Okay. So, and this has just started recently, has it?
She did it once before when she was going through a bit of trauma with another dog.
Yep.
Long story. We had another dog, got rid of that dog. They didn't get on. Anyway, but yeah, it just, so it started Friday night. She wet my son's bed and then came under my bed and did a wet.
Okay. So the things that in a female dog, there's a few things that we need to check. So one, urinary tract infections in female dogs are just about as common as they are in human women.
Right.
So first thing we need to do is we need to rule that out as a cause. Okay. So I would give your vet a call, but pop into them with a urine sample. Let them do an examination of her. They'll have a look at the urine sample just to rule out that we haven't got an underlying urinary tract infection there, because it can come up really quickly. And sometimes the first sign that we see is either like an incontinence or just, they stop losing their house training. And if you think about any time, if you've had a urinary tract infection, we get what we call an urge incontinence, where all of a sudden, as soon as your bladder starts to expand, it gets a little bit painful and the dog just can't hang on to it. It's just, you know, it's almost an unconscious response. So that's the first thing. The second thing is presumably Star is a de-sexed female. So the other thing that we can occasionally see in females who are de-sexed is something called estrogen responsive incontinence. So usually when we de-sex a dog, they still have enough estrogen in the body being produced in organs like the adrenal glands, because when we de-sex them, obviously we take out the uterus, we take out the ovaries. The ovaries are the main source of estrogen in the body, but usually there's enough coming from the adrenal glands that they can still close up the sphincter for their bladder. In some dogs, though, that sort of supply doesn't seem to be quite enough. And so in those cases, we find that they can, and it can be a long time after they've been de-sexed even, but we find that some dogs will develop an incontinence where they just can't actually close down the neck of the bladder well enough to keep from, you know, a bit of wee leaking out. Now, usually you'll see that not just as a conscious, I've weed on the bed. Usually you'll see that the dog gets up and there's a bit of a wet patch or a few dribbles here and there, you know, as they're walking along. But not always. Sometimes it's as they're lying on the bed, they're in their happy spot, they relax a little bit and all of a sudden, whoops, a bit slips out. Okay. So we'll want to check again. Still same thing. We need to check the urine sample first, make sure there's no infection. And then they might try a trial of some medication to try to help with that. And then the third thing that we have is we absolutely could have a dog who is feeling a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious. If she was a male dog, sometimes we see some territorialism. That's less likely in a female, but not impossible. So there can be sort of behavioral things. So we want to have a look around. What's going on in the dog's world this week? Is there anything different? Are there new dogs in the neighborhood? Have we been doing any house renovations? Have we had different people in the house? Has something changed with the dynamic? You know, have my dog get stressed when I fight with my daughter? She's 13 now. We do that a fair bit. And my dog gets stressed. She runs and hides behind the lounge. So, you know, there can be different things happening sort of there. So having a look around and seeing. Practically, what we want to do if we think it's behavioral, we just need to make sure that we're taking her out to the toilet really, really frequently. so that we're building that habit again of making sure she's emptying her bladder before she's coming to lie on the bed, okay? So even if you think, oh, okay, she's just been out like in the last hour, but I'm going to head off to bed now, or my son's going to head off to bed and she's going to come and lie on the bed, put her out to the toilet, spend a bit of time with her, make sure she empties the bladder so that there's less pressure on it before you let her back into the house. And we do sometimes have to go back and say, okay, she's obviously having a bit of a hard time at the moment. Let's treat her like a puppy again for a little while, give her a little bit less freedom until we've reestablished that habit of only toileting back outside. Okay. But let's rule out the medical causes first.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. Best of luck with everything there, Stacey. Good afternoon, Marie. Now, your dog goes a little bit crazy whenever there's an animal on the TV. So stop putting Dr. Harry on in the afternoon, Marie. That'll help you.
It knows ads, and it actually knows the music before the animal comes on.
Right, okay. What kind of a dog have you got?
A Moodle.
A Moodle, okay. So here's the good news, Marie. It means your dog is really intelligent, okay? It means you have a really smart little dog, because they say that dogs who are intelligent can discern a three-dimensional object from a two-dimensional picture, and dogs who are not very smart can't do that.
Oh.
So if your dog is, identifying, and, to be fair, the TVs that we have these days are a lot better than what we used to have 25 years ago, and they've been saying that for a long time. But if your dog is identifying, other dogs on television by watching them, seeing them, maybe hearing them, that's actually a sign of intelligence. That doesn't help you if the dog's barking up a storm.
And jumping up at the TV.
Absolutely. So the first thing I would say is, although it's probably pretty cute sometimes, we don't want to let your dog practice that sort of behavior, okay? Because obviously it can cause damage to the television. The last thing we'd want would be for the dog to jump on the television. Television comes crashing down off the wall. Something like that is possible. So we don't want to let the dog practice these excited behaviors. And that's essentially what's happening, is he's getting wound up. He's looking at this and he's getting a bit of positive reinforcement of, if I bark, it's a little bit like the mailman sort of syndrome, right? If I bark and carry on, the dog that's in front of me or the mailman that's on the other side of the door eventually goes away. And so he's actually getting some positive reinforcement that way, and he's getting himself all excited. Yeah. So I would say, depending on how frequently it's happening, obviously we want to try to avoid watching shows that have a lot of dogs on them or pets.
You can't watch any animal shows.
Yeah, but you might even need to, to retrain the dog that actually when the television is on full stop, we're going to, the dog's going to be in a different spot of the house, hopefully practicing calm behaviors. So that might be the time where we get fed dinner or we get a treat to chew on. Something along those lines. We may need to look at putting him into a quiet room so they can't hear the sounds. And like you said, if your dog is smart enough to sort of go, ooh, I recognize the jingle from that toilet paper commercial, and if I look around the corner, there's going to be kittens walking past me.
Yes.
It is certainly tricky. So we want to try. It may take a little bit of work. We may need to work with a trainer to build alternative reactions, sort of to that. And that probably means that we have to slowly, gradually set the dog up to, when we hear that jingle, instead of being rewarded by the exciting, kittens or dogs on the television, the dog starts to go look for what else the reward is. So where's my treat? Where's my treat bowl? Where's, somebody's going to play with me? Those sorts of things. So that he's looking, we're making an association with that jingle with a different activity, a different behavior. But I'm not going to lie to you, that's not going to be a quick fix, and it's not going to be a super simple fix. So in the meantime, I would say, get your dog used to potentially being on his own in a crate in the short term when you're watching television, or in a separate room. Give him something really fun to do, a nice chew toy, or that might be the right time to do dinner, and start to, have him away from you when you're watching television if those sorts of things go on.
Marie, I'd love to be in your house if Big Dog was ever on TV.
Yeah.
It's amazing it knows the sound.
Yeah.
The music before the actual animals on the TV.
Yeah, that's really good. Because I've often said she's pretty dumb, but she's smart enough that she'll sit and watch television with us. And when, dogs or wild animals, little fluffy things come on, she'll stand up and she'll, sort of stand there and wag her tail, and she's in full attention. But I don't think she's smart enough to sort of work out that they're, keep going, and she wouldn't get the music, that's for sure. So you do have a smart dog, which means that she's trainable, okay? So you'll get there. It's just going to be a little bit of work.
Best of luck, Marie. G'day, Sue. It looks like your border collie loves to dig up the backyard, yeah?
He does, but the same spot all the time. And it's been going on for, a couple of years now. He's 8 now.
Okay, yep.
And it's the same spot all the time. And as soon as you walk out the back door and he goes and runs straight in his bed because he looks at you and he knows that he's going to get in trouble.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, the reality is that border collies are smart dogs and they need a lot of stimulation. They need lots of exercise for their bodies. They need lots and lots of stimulation for their mind. And probably, unless he's an actual working dog, probably his, you know, hole digging is, you know, his letdown. Like, that's how he's trying to keep himself entertained. There are things you can do, you know, people talk about, like, putting the dog poo into the hole to try to prevent the hole. You know, they'll often stop digging in a hole that's got dog poo in it. And that does work. The reality, though, is that...
But it stopped me from digging there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. The reality, though, is that sometimes we stop the dog from digging in the one hole and then they start digging in, you know, different holes. So you do have to weigh up the pros and cons about that. I mean, the things that I would say is... 8 years old, so he's not a real young dog, but, you know, we want to try to increase his work, the work that he has to do. So things like don't ever feed him in a food bowl. Give him a feeding toy, a Kong or something like that, even just starting with scatter feeding if he's never done it before. Make him work for his food so he's not spending 30 seconds eating and then the rest of his day he's trying to find things to do, okay? And there's been lots of studies showing that if you give dogs work, even if the work only takes them, you know, 3 times as long as it would to eat out of a bowl or something like that, it still improves their cognitive relaxation. Like they sort of go, oh, I've accomplished something great. I can chill out now. That can be really...
Out the back door.
Yeah. Throw the food out the back door. If you get creative, you can do things like freeze it into ice cube, you know, into ice cream containers and things like that. Like put some water in it, float it in there, and then you kind of have to do it in multiple stages because most dog food floats to the top. But those are things that you can do. Give him a job to do so that he's not, you know, bored and trying to dig his holes. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that some dogs dig holes because they can hear grubs and things in the ground. My dog used to do that. We had a whole problem with the lawn going dead. But we used one of those grub killer sort of things, and the grubs are gone, and now the dog doesn't dig holes. And I'm sure that's a combination of the fact that there's no grubs and also that we worked really hard to train her not to and to give her other things to do, and she was a puppy at the time. But, you know, so sometimes it can be that he's actually got a goal, a target. But if he's been doing it for a long time, the other thing is...
Yeah, and it's always during the night when everyone's asleep.
Right, okay.
Because he's inside at night watching TV or whatever he's
doing. Yeah.
And then he goes out at night, everything's nice, no mess out there.
Yeah.
As soon as you get up in the morning and open that sliding door, he looks at you and he runs straight to his bed and you're like, oh, my God, look at the hole again.
Because he's dug the hole. Right. So, I mean, there could be a little bit of a separation anxiety issue there too, right? Like, he's like, well, I was happy and, you know, tucked up with my family inside and now they've booted me outside and I'm on my own. And either he's got pent-up energy or maybe he's feeling a little bit like he's been, you know, separated from the family and that's causing him a bit of anxiety. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to, like, you know, this is my self-soothing technique. I'm going to dig a hole. But also sometimes, you know, we get cicadas and things like that are more active at night, and those some of the grubs maybe are, I don't know, maybe they're moving around more at night. It's hard to know for sure. So again, I mean, same thing applies. You could withhold some of his supper and give him an evening snack as he's going to bed. We don't usually recommend doing that, but you know, in this case, if you're looking for something to keep him busy and active, so he's not digging, digging holes, I guess. Yeah,
like we're on acreage, so like he gets so much exercise because he goes walking twice a day. It's not like he just sits there. He's always doing something.
Okay. And he's running around then too, obviously. Yeah. He's getting to burn off some calories and things as well. Yeah,
because there's always someone here doing something with him. Yeah. It's just yeah, the holes are getting bigger and bigger.
It's a tricky. It is a tricky thing because it's sort of a kind of a normal dog behavior, but obviously it's tricky for us. So, you know, you might wanna see if you can put some poo in the holes where you don't want him to dig, but maybe give him an opportunity to, you know, a spot where he can dig. Some people will put a little sandbox in for them and sort of go like, this is the, you know, this is the digging area, trying to keep it at least controlled so that you're not sort of stumbling into them. But yeah, there's a few different things there. It can be tricky though, because he's been doing it for a long time. So,
all right, best of luck with all of that, Sue. G'day, Marie at Swansea. Your cat, or a new cat to you, an adult, is not eating. What's happening with your cat, Marie?
Oh, good afternoon, Mark. Yes, we brought him home on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He's a D6 male.
Yep.
About 2.5. He came from some people that wanted to rehome him.
Yeah.
Since then, he spent virtually all of his time under furniture hiding.
Yep. Hiding. Yeah, sure.
Now and again, my husband has gently brought him out and held him for a while, and he's fine. He snuggles up and...
Okay.
But then straight back under the lounge again. Yeah. At night, he'll come out and use the litter tray and have a drink of water.
Yep.
But he has not eaten a thing for 4 days.
Okay. Yeah, that's not great for him. So the things that I would say is, first of all, he's obviously in a big transition phase.
Yes.
I think his world is too big at the moment, Marie. We need to make his world smaller, because big worlds can be really scary for cats sometimes. So rather than give him the run of the house, I want you to find a nice contained room in the house. It can even be just as small as a bathroom, which sounds, you know, unusual, but small as a bathroom if you need to, or a spare bedroom. And we want to just put all of his stuff in there: litter box, food, water, a hiding spot, or cat scratching post, something like that he can, you know, get into and hide. You know, if you've got a post that he can get up high to, it's got to have a box or something on the top so he can hide in it. And even in a bathroom, sometimes just a cardboard box works. It's tipped on its side, and with the opening turned away from the main part of the room so he can feel secure. And he might need a week of just that space, that small space. He's got to get used to new sounds. He's got to get used to new smells, new people. And to me, it sounds like he's a bit terrified. He doesn't want to interact yet. And coming out to food, cats have to be quite relaxed to come out and eat, right? Because they sort of get into the mood of it. So we want to, you know, encourage him to feel comfortable first, and then he'll hopefully come out and eat. The other thing is that we know that cats develop quite particular preferences very early on in life for certain foods, and depending on what the other people were feeding him.
Yeah.
I was going to say, are you feeding the same thing, or?
Well, I was told that he was a big eater,
mm-hmm.
and that he wasn't fussy that he'd have anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we've put down different things.
Yep.
So
you're giving him a kitty smorgasbord. Yep, that's good. Yeah.
But no, he hasn't touched a thing, and I'm getting quite concerned about his well-being.
Yeah. So as long as he's eating, as long as he's drinking and he's toileting, you know, you're seeing him going to the litter box, then something's got to be going in a little bit, probably here and there. It is important that he starts to eat. We don't like cats to go more than about 3 or 4 days without eating. But I would just try, see if you can get him out from underneath the lounge or wherever he's hiding, and just give him a really sort of small space. The other thing I would look to do is see if you can get a hold of some feline pheromone, either spray or the diffusers are really good. That can be really helpful to, you know, help him adjust to a new location.
So I was looking at them.
Yeah, they're really helpful. I know it seems like a little bit of wishy-washy sort of stuff, but it actually can be really, really helpful. You might speak to your local vet about what they have on board. We often have some products that are non-prescription that you can use just from their nutritional supplements that you can put, and they can help cats to settle in as well. And just be, you know, it's not uncommon for a cat to take a month sometimes to settle into a new location, but obviously we need him to eat before that point.
I'm not concerned about how long it takes him to settle in,
because
he can take as long as he wants. I'm just worried about the fact that he is not eating, and I'm worried his health will decline.
Yeah. So water is the most important. As long as he's got good access to water and he's peeing in the litter box, then, you know, we've got a few days. Yeah. And he's not a young, tiny kitten, so he should have some reserves there. But, yeah, I would say make his world smaller. He'll start to feel more comfortable quicker.
Well, we asked for lots of calls, Kimberly, so we can't complain when we run over feet, can we?
Doing pretty good.
Good afternoon, Jenny at Fern Bay. Now, your dog's got some itchy ear problems. What's the story, Jenny?
Okay. Lucy is my dog, and she's an assistance dog.
Mm-hmm.
So she's with me all the time. We are under a vet, of course, you know.
Yep.
Now, one is worse than the other. We had our pat test yesterday. She went through with flying colours.
Mm-hmm.
But the assessor suggested that she might have to go on to a human diet to quieten the itch.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that? She also has beautiful teeth because she has a dentist sticks every morning.
Yeah, okay. So the first thing that I would say is... we do see food allergies as a cause of skin issues, and we would include ear issues in skin issues, but they're certainly not the most common reason. They're the least common reason, food issues, okay? That's not to say trying a diet trial isn't a good idea. Is she itchy elsewhere, or is it just the ears? Is she a scratchy dog?
Just the ears. One is worse than the other.
Yeah.
And I've put some of the saline solution that the vet's given me in, and I get an earbud and clean it out, and one is absolutely filthy.
Yeah, okay. And so has the vet actually had a look down the ear, done some cytology, and made sure we haven't got a yeast infection in that ear?
Well, he's looked at them, and he's given me
a cleaner
or something to put in the ear if it's really bad.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, because we can, there's a bit of a difference between an ear cleaner and then a medicated ointment or a medicated drop that goes down the ear. What I always tell people is if you're cleaning the ears on a regular basis and you've got one ear that's still flaring up, then we probably have an infection in there. We need to, you know, we need to actually put a medicated drop down in there. So you just want to maybe check in with your vet whether what he's given you is an actual medicated drop or not.
It is. It's, I've actually got it in the car today.
Ezotic. Okay, yeah. So that is definitely a medicated drop. So we should be using it. That product has very specific, you know, you use it for 5 days. It's got sort of quite a specific sort of treatment protocol that you use.
Yeah.
I'd have a discussion with your vet about whether he thinks a diet trial would help, okay? It's never a bad idea, but I wouldn't go to a human diet for that. I would try a hypoallergenic diet as a diet trial. Because if your dog doesn't have food allergies, then putting it on a human diet or changing its diet isn't going to help. If it happens to be one of the few dogs that has a proper food allergy, then usually it's a protein allergy. And what we need to do is find a protein source that your dog has never had access to before. Okay. So we talk about either using a hypoallergenic diet for a 12-week food trial or using a novel protein diet. That means finding a food protein source that your dog's never had a single mouthful of ever in their life before and feeding
that would be dog food.
Yeah, usually it's dog food. I mean, there are recipes you can do it as a cooked diet. So if your dog's never had a kangaroo treat before, you can use kangaroo meat. That used to be a really common one. Unfortunately, there's lots of, dog treats on the market. Like you can walk into any pet shop these days and find kangaroo jerky and various different kangaroo products there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, if you've given that to your dog as a treat at any point in its life, it's no longer suitable to do a diet trial with anymore.
Yeah.
You've got
to
find a different, source. So there are some special foods that we use where they have, salmon and tapioca and those sorts of things that are alternate food sources, crocodile and things where the dogs hopefully haven't had access to it before. And you would try a 12-week food trial with it to see if that helps to settle down the ear. You still have to take care of the infection, but then once the treatment for the infection is finished and hopefully the ear has cleared up for a bit, then we do that 3-month food trial and watch to see what happens, whether the ear flares up again during that period of time. And if it doesn't...
Should I go through my vet? go through my vet with that?
I would, because it's a bit of a complicated process and you don't want to spend money on expensive foods and not do the diet trial right and also to get an equivocal response for it. So I would have a chat with them and see. It's not the most common reason, but if your dog does happen to be the one, you know, that is a food allergic dog, then it's really good because for the rest of its life, you'll be able to control the skin issues by controlling the diet. So it's worthwhile finding out.
Good afternoon, Craig at Maitland. Now, your nine-month-old cat, he's been to sex, but he's become a little extra chilled out and disconnected. What have you got him sitting in a smoky jazz club with a whiskey and sunglasses on, mate? What's happening, Craig?
Well, I don't really know. He's got two doggy friends, so he's always been a quiet cat. I rescued him from, he was dumped at work, so I brought him home from work. And I rehomed the female, and I kept him because I always sensed that he was just like going to be a nice, chill cat. He's always been an active cat. He's been inside all of his life. But about 3 months ago, I started letting him out just out into the yard. And he goes out and he just has a bit of a walk around. And then he comes back and he's really relaxed after that. But I've just noticed that this last week, he's really particularly disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to sit on my lap. He doesn't really want to do anything. So this morning when I got up for work really early, he usually gets up about 4 o'clock, about an hour before I get up.
Yep.
And does a bit of a lap around the house and has something and then just waits for his breakfast, comes and sits on my lap while I'm having a coffee and things like that. But this morning he didn't even come out of his room. He's just really disconnected. So
okay.
I don't really know what's going on.
Just happened this week, really.
This week, yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought, is there he's only 9 months old. He should be a prime running around.
Running around, playing.
Kitten.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, I mean, that to me does ring a few alarm bells. You're out in Maitland, so the tick burden shouldn't be too high, but you couldn't ever say that for sure. We certainly know that tick season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I would still check him over for ticks or, and potentially think about booking him in for a consult with your local vet. The thing with cats is that cats are a bit more clever than dogs sometimes. So when dogs get sick with either heart disease or, you know, various different things that are internal, they tend not to sort of settle down their exercise level and things like that. And so you notice it a lot more, right? All of a sudden you can have a dog who's running around chasing a ball and they might pass out because their heart can't keep up with the level of activity. Cats are a little bit more clever than that. And if they have something internal going on, they often do just become a lot more quieter and just, like you say, more chilled, a bit more lethargic. They may just settle down more. And so it can actually be a lot harder to identify, actually, this cat's got something, you know, moderately serious going on. In a young cat, it wouldn't be impossible to have something like a congenital heart problem. As the cat's been getting older, maybe the heart is not keeping up very well. And instead of the cat showing it by fainting because it's still running around, the cat's just like, oh, don't really feel up to that. I'm just going to sort of sit and just watch the world. So, and there's a few different things that can come on around that age. So obviously, tick paralysis could come at any time, but heart disease, if it's congenital, may come up around that time. Things like FIP, feline infectious peritonitis, those sorts of things can crop up in cats that are sort of coming into their sort of adulthood a little bit more. And they will sometimes have just really vague signs. You know, the cat's not necessarily vomiting. They're not necessarily painful. You're not seeing anything, just that maybe they're, you know, a little bit like less active. The other thing that can happen is if he's had a run-in with any other cat while he's been outside, cat fight abscesses will cause hard, you know, big fevers. Fevers in cats usually cause them to sort of just become reclusive and quiet. And a cat fight abscess can take a number of days, 3 to 5 days to brew. And during that time, the cat can, you know, be having ongoing fevers. And so they might just, you know, sort of go and hide away and just become really quiet while that's happening. So it's probably, if it's a change that's come on pretty suddenly, you know, disconnected is, you know, chilled is one thing, disconnected is another. I would say see if you can get him into your local vet in the next couple of days or the next day and see if we can, just have him checked out just to make sure.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. He wouldn't have been in any fights because I get home from work and he's allowed out for 2 or 3 hours and he just, yeah. he's, He's a dream cat, really. He just walks around the yard. He doesn't try to get over the fence. He doesn't try to do anything. He just patrols. He likes catching lizards. That's the only thing that he does.
Yeah.
All right. Best of luck with everything, Craig.
Good luck with that.
Absolutely. Look, we've run out of time, Kimberly, so we'll just throw a dart at the board and come up with a winner for our $50 at Dozer & Co. And who do you reckon today?
Who have we got there? Marie from Spears Point.
Marie, you had the dogs with a dog that was peeing in the bed.
That was the little one with the urinary issues on the bed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We'll be in contact with you. Congratulations, Marie. And $50 to spend at Dozer & Co. is coming your way very shortly. Thanks, Kimberly, for your help today. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And we'll catch you next time for another Pet Chat, which, of course, will be back next Wednesday right after our midday news.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.